Buzz around artificial intelligence is seemingly everywhere. Is your portfolio keeping up? Consider the GlobalX Artificial Intelligence and Technology ETF, ticker AIQ, which invests in dozens of stocks at the leading edge of this disruption. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Technology companies can be affected by rapid product obsolescence and intense industry competition. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and more in the full or summary prospectus at globalxetfs.com. Read carefully. Distributed by SEI Investments Distribution Co.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, rolling along we are here. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Goodyear Hotline. We will have time for your calls later in this hour. As always, the traditional Monday hot takes coming from you. I'll tell you when to call. I don't want you sitting on hold all day long here as we will go through all the action of yesterday. Again, if you're just joining us, it was a lot to catch up on here. There were some really fascinating games. Before I get into I'm sorry what, to me, the most interesting games of the day, Cowboys-Chiefs, while it was by no means an artistic masterpiece, I thought was a really meaningful game. Because that game did raise some questions for me about the Cowboys. Questions I thought had been answered. And yes, you have to be fair. They're still playing without the left tackle, who's proved to be an unbelievably important member of that team. They're playing without the two pass rushers in Lawrence and Randy Gregory. They get all those guys back healthy, things will be different. I also think that this season is unique. The COVID era is unique in the following way. Sometimes guys get hurt in practice in football, but that's rare. Usually, if you're not going to have a player available that week, you know it when the week begins. In this very unique era of COVID, and this happened the week before, I forget with which team now, where they lost a player, like they did, they practiced all week expecting to have Amari Cooper play right in this game. And then what was it, Bubba, was it Friday or Saturday they got the news about Amari? Either way, it was at the end of a week of practice. You can't rewrite your whole game plan and all that kind of stuff. So they spent all week long planning to have him in the game, and then all of a sudden he's not in the game. That's different from having an injury in the previous game, and you know you're not going to have the player all week. Plus, they lose C.D. Lamb at halftime. So there are many excuses for the Cowboys yesterday if you want to make them. The thing is, I feel like the Cowboys are a team you want to be beyond the excuses. Mm-hmm. Like I want to see them overcome bad circumstances and win, like a lot of teams do.
You also want to see them properly adjust. If you're going into a game knowing you're without Amari Cooper, in theory, you should be willing to run the ball more. And when, in the early going, you're not able to execute your game plan as scripted throughout the week, you should be able to adjust. Now, twice in the last 3 weeks, the Cowboys essentially gave themselves no chance to win, best I can tell, because they were unwilling to go off of game script. That's coaching.
Absolutely. So there are a lot of questions there in Dallas, and we can start the soundbites here with that because I have some Dak. This is Dak after the game on the offense and pointing no fingers, instead pointing a thumb.
Sucks, but I tell you, we're a confident group, and the defense did plenty enough for us to come and win this game. And so the offense didn't get the job done. That starts with me, and it starts with the way that we communicated and executed. So I've got a lot of confidence in this group, and as I said, we're a resilient group that will get better. So there's no worries or no discouragement on what our future holds. So as I said, we just got to learn from this and make sure that we take advantage of an opportunity on the road against a great team like this the next time.
You know, he says the right thing all the time. Mm-hmm. So it should not surprise me in the slightest that he just said exactly what he should say.
Right.
Right. That's literally exactly what he should say after that game. He should take the blame. He should give credit to his defense. And he should say, my confidence is not shaken one iota. Mm-hmm. So he said all the right things. I need to see him play huge in a big game.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I need to see.
Bubba, tell me if I'm wrong here. If I'm a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, I would rather the result yesterday where the defense shows it can continue to play and the offense lag because I know I have, in theory, a superstar quarterback and a track record for years going back that my offense is elite. To me, that's how I would be coming at this. Where are you on that?
Rather than what?
Rather than the defense be the reason that they lost the game.
Oh, yeah. Yes, correct. Yes, I would agree. Yes, because I do have confidence in Dak, so it's good to see. I think we have officially fixed the defense, so that is done. Dan Quinn has fixed the defense. We're good there, and I do have confidence in Dak going forward and the offense.
All right, the other game that I thought was just fascinating was Green Bay, Minnesota. What a good football game that was. And Rodgers is just ridiculously good. The Vikings are very dangerous. I have no faith in their quarterback at all. As I told you earlier, he tried as hard as he could to give that game away on that last drive. He threw two interceptions. The Packers just managed not to catch either one of them. but then they find a way to win because they're so talented. Adam Thielen is by far the best number two receiver in the NFL, right?
He's incredibly good.
He's incredibly good, and he's not the best receiver on
his team. Justin Jefferson is a one. He's a top five wide receiver. He catches everything.
Think how good LSU's team that won the championship was. They had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson.
Jefferson played for them in the slot.
And Joe Burrow was the quarterback. I mean, that's why they were so good. But anyway, the point is that game was phenomenal, and I thought Rodgers was unreal. Like that, I thought that was a vintage Rodgers game, despite the fact that he's got a toe. And after the game, he was talking about
I've had turf toe. It's a little worse than turf toe. I'm just going to have to get through the bye and hope I can get some healing over the bye week. Probably the same schedule next week. Was in a lot of pain. Went in at halftime early to get it checked out. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very painful. Got stepped on in the first half, and that kind of activated all the symptoms I was having. So it's going to be another painful week next week, and then hopefully start to feel a little better in the bye.
So I'm confused. He injured his toe during his COVID quarantine. How?
Yoga? Doing that yoga?
Well, he did yoga. He walked. Like, how exactly? Like, Ryan Clark was joking, I think, when he said maybe he stubbed it. Could it have been a stubbing so bad? He said this is worse than turf toe.
And turf toe, all the former players tell you, is like the worst thing and the most nagging thing ever.
Correct.
So I don't know how this could have happened.
He says is worse.
Is this a non-football injury at home during the
I don't know. McAfee's going to have to ask him tomorrow.
He needs to get to the bottom of this.
McAfee's going to have to get to the bottom of this.
He asked him, though, that this week. And
what did he say?
He wouldn't answer it.
He asked him, how did you hurt your toe, and he wouldn't answer?
Yeah, so because McAfee even tweeted out, the toe was a COVID injury. I can't confirm or deny the reports. And Rodgers says, I don't think it's going to be a big issue. So he said, I didn't think it was going to be a big issue. And then all of a sudden, he's out here yesterday, after playing a very good game, talking about the injury. So, dude, what is it? Like, is it not a big deal? Is it a big deal? Do you want us to feel sorry for you this week? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, Nuno, the Nuno approach to this is just so fantastic. Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio, where all our guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline, making the plays that move you forward, Goodyear, more driven. The next one is Matt Nagy. If you're with us at the beginning of the show, we talked about the very real possibility that if they lose Thursday at Detroit, that he could get fired Friday. I don't think that is beyond the realm. And if you watched that game yesterday, first of all, if you watched all of that game yesterday, I commend you. I had that game on, and I'm telling you that if it were not for the opportunity to to put on Red Zone and watch, I would have read a book. I mean, I would have been much more entertained by just sitting and reading a book than watching the Bears and Ravens play football yesterday. That was the worst football game I've ever seen. Because the Ravens were without Lamar, and they were expecting to have him, and the Bears are without anything. I mean, they're unwatchable. And the fans are chanting, fire Nagy. And Nagy, you can't pretend he didn't hear it.
I just understand in the end that we all care a lot, and we're all, in this thing. And, of course, we want to do everything we can to win, so that's our job to do that. And I think that everyone is competitive and wants to see the Bears win, and that's exactly what we want.
Now, so, look, what's he supposed to say? They're booing and chanting they want you fired. There's no good answer to that, so I have no criticism of that comment. That said, I noticed you put a note here in there, so I'll let you read what you said.
Well, when I saw the outcome of yesterday's game, saw how it ended, the first thought I had was, he's going to get fired tomorrow.
Right.
Because coaches have been fired for much less than losing a home game to Tyler Huntley. That was an unimaginably bad loss.
Right.
Like an inexcusably bad loss. And if you've already decided effectively he's not coming back next year, why delay the inevitable? Right? I mean, what's wrong with today?
It's also a very big loss because in this unprecedentedly long season, if you win that game, which the Ravens in theory are giving you, I'm not giving you, but I mean, Lamar can't play. It's a gimme. You get to 4-6. At 4-6, you can convince yourself you're in the playoff race. Like, they aren't really. or wouldn't have been. But you could convince yourself you still have a chance if you get hot the rest of the way because there's an extra game this year. 3-7 is the difference between 4-6 and 3-7 is a mile long.
Especially when your next game is against Detroit.
Yeah.
Like you can talk yourself into that for sure.
Correct.
They're
going to lose that game. They're going to lose on Thanksgiving.
You think so? Right?
I do.
They're a 3-point favorite right now in Detroit. You like Detroit to win that game outright.
I do.
Man.
What could I get on the money line on that one? Let me play you one more soundbite here. What do I have? Robert Sala asked yesterday, what gives him confidence in the youth on his roster?
We still have a lot of faith. We still think our quarterback's going to be special. AVT has been getting better every single week. Elijah Moore, his play speaks for itself. Michael Carter, his play speaks for itself. The nickel, Michael Carter, his play speaks for itself. Eccles had been doing a nice job before he got injured. There's a lot of first and second year players doing a lot of good things. And are there frustrating moments? Sure, there are. But at the same time, these are all scars that they're getting and they're learning. I've said it up here a million times. You've got to learn not to lose first. And then once you learn how not to lose and you figure out how to win, and then once you learn how to win, then you got to learn how to close games. And today was clearly one of those learning moments of how not to lose.
All right, that's 35 seconds of my life I'll never get back. Okay, fine. Great. They do have some young players that you could be excited about. But when you're at home against a team that is like, what were the Dolphins going into that game yesterday? 3-7?
3-7.
When you're home against a 3-7 team and we're throwing parties because you threw a 14-year veteran out there at quarterback and only lost by 7, I'm sorry. Don't ask me to be excited. I'm not interested in that at all. Nuno's notes are on the way, and then your calls. I'll tell you when to call with your hot takes on this Monday with Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny, G-R-E-E-N-Y, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5-HE-TRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5-HE-TRAVEL to save 20%. Very quickly, I want to circle back before Nuno's notes. Nuno, to this potential wager that we have with you and Hembo. So you, for those of you who are not a regular with our program here, Nuno is a crazy Giant fan. Hembo is an Eagle fan. It looked at the beginning of the year like both teams stunk. Now all of a sudden the Eagles are coming on strong. Mm-hmm. So if you two are going to make a wager for next week, Nuno, I'm going to negotiate on your behalf. I do feel as though he needs some sort of odds here because the Eagles will be a prohibitive favorite.
The game is in New York. The Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite. I'm willing to spot him. I'm willing to spot him the 3.5.
So it's a 3.5-point line with the Eagle. Excuse me, with the Giants playing tonight.
Correct. So that could change a lot based upon the outcome. At least some.
3.5 points feel like enough to you, Nuno?
No, I could see that line, especially after they get demolished tonight, that that's going to be like a 5-point line by the time we look, you know, by the time we get to the weekend.
So do we need to honor the line or do we need to create our own to satisfy the criteria here?
I mean, you're the numbers guy, right?
I think 3.5 seems right. I mean, I'm going to give you more than a field goal.
No, see, your problem is that your use of the, this is why people hate, this is why people shake nerds.
This is why people shake nerds.
Because in this case, you literally are just taking those numbers and using them to your benefit. You know they should be more than a 3.5 point favorite.
I do. Nuno, 6.5 points.
Oh, now we're talking.
6.5 points, like Nuno.
Now we're talking. Okay. I'll let my negotiator handle that.
Feels good.
But before we do that, as an Eagle fan, how did it feel to watch Justin Jefferson just destroy the Packers? You know, the guy who won the pick after Jalen Reagor?
Jalen Reagor, yes, noted bust. It's always painful when he catches a pass. However, I am not going to allow Nuno to rain on my parade because we don't even need wide receivers with the way that we're playing right now. I'm riding high. The Eagles have missed on a lot of receivers over the years, including DK Metcalf, but I'm not going to choose to dwell on that stuff. I'm going to sort of sip the Kool-Aid right now. You know what we're doing, Greeny?
Yeah.
You know what we can do?
Yes.
We can run the football.
Oh, I hate it when you do that. I don't know why you think that's charming. But one way or the other, they do run the football, and we'll see. So we're going to make a wager. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 6.5 points. We're not going to solidify the wager until after tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that Nuno gets out of this is if Daniel Jones gets significantly hurt tonight,
okay,
which I don't have like saying out loud. I don't want to put that in the ether. But if they lose by 50 tonight, it's still 6.5, right? We're living with that number.
What if they go down there and they win?
It's still 6.5.
It's 6.5 if they beat.
6.5 points. That's correct. And that brings us to our Monday Night Football preview, which is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit Progressive.com. Nuno, I will let you do the Monday Night Football preview. What do you expect tonight from your Giants at Tampa?
I expect the Bucs to show why they are the favorites in the NFC. Just completely demolish them. Brady probably gets Gronk back. I know the Giants, Saquon's supposed to be there, and Tony and Galladay, but like, I just expect the Bucs to show why they are the favorite in the NFC.
So what is the number on this game tonight?
11. Right now the number's 11. The public is pretty split on this, but the Giants over the last 2 years, the Giants under Joe Judge are 9-3 against the number on the road. 9-3, it's the best record in the league over the last 2 years. 11 feels like a lot to me. That's like a lot to me.
A very complicated game.
Very.
I think 11 is too much. All right, the Greeny pick.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
All right, my pick is officially going to be Giants plus the 11.
I like it a lot.
It feels like too many. I don't think they get blown out tonight. I don't think they win, but I don't think they get blown out tonight. All right, one last piece of business before we line up the phone calls. And then tomorrow, we also have to have a conversation about what this game next week. Are you more concerned about your wager with Nuno or how this game might impact your marriage?
Well, look,
we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, my marriage, we have gone in depth here, obviously, over the last few weeks with a variety of different things. My wife, a huge Giants fan, season tickets in the family since the 60s, since they've, you know, her grandmother once told me a story in which she watched Y.A. Tittle play a game at Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
So it goes far back. So my wife and I are going to go to the Eagles-Giants game. I'm going to wear green, she's going to wear blue, and hopefully I come out, you know, still a married man.
Does she ever wear blue to the games when they're in Philly? Because that's taking your life in your hands.
Look, I am more willing to let her put up Christmas decorations in November than I am to bring her to South Philadelphia wearing a Giants jersey.
I think that's
fair. I have that right?
I think that is smart. In that case, that is 100% smart. All right, here we go. Notes. What's going on, Nuno?
Not much, Greeny.
Nuno is a unique personality.
There's just that je ne sais quoi.
He puts notes on all of the games into the Google Doc for me.
I'm definitely a savant.
And I like it. I just enjoy it.
Nuno's notes.
Sure. Let's do it.
Yeah, the Google Doc. We have the legendary hashtag Greeny Show Google Doc, which we all contribute to. And every Monday, Nuno just puts his thoughts on these games in there as though I didn't watch them. And I like them because he's so negative. I mean, it's hilarious to me to read the negativity of the notes. For example, Dolphins beat the Jets by a touchdown. His notes are the following. Dolphins winning too many games might prevent them from cleaning house like they need to. And then about the Jets, he writes, undisciplined, wasting timeouts, but hey, at least Elijah Moore is good. You know, I can't argue with it. Those are good notes. I actually agree with both of them. The Jets, Elijah Moore is way better than the Jets coach or any of the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. The Jets coaching staff does not have any idea what they are doing. Elijah Moore is good. So I like that. And yes, the Dolphins, I don't know what they're going to do. Who's the Dolphins quarterback going to be next year?
Probably Deshaun Watson. So long as he gets clear, we know they want him.
Yes, that's the point. Is he ever going to be allowed to play football again? Is a whole separate level of question.
Sure.
I don't know what's going to wind up happening there, but the Dolphins are a mess. The next, the Vikings beating the Packers. He writes, the Vikings are in the worst place to be in sports. Good enough to beat a really good team, but not good enough to actually compete for a championship. Bubba, let me ask you a question. Do you agree with that? Because I watch the Vikings, and I think in a year where it is very hard for me to pinpoint one team and say nobody's beating them, or they are head and shoulders the favorite, this could be one of those years where a team, you know, that you don't see coming gets hot at the end, and the Vikings are that kind of good. I don't know that they're just a one and done in the playoffs. You?
Well, they lost to Cooper Rush, so they're kind of. I'm kind of done with them.
That is true. They did lose that game against.
I kind of lost faith in them when that happened. I don't think they can do much after that happened.
They've lost five games by a combined total of 20 points. Is it 20?
19 points.
19 points. The Vikings just feel to me like a weird team. Like something crazy might happen. And then he also writes, Kirk Cousins tried to give you the game. You better hope this doesn't cost you the number one seed. That's about Green Bay, and I agree. On the Colts and Bills, Nuno's note, Jonathan Taylor just might be as important to his team as Derrick Henry is to his team. How does the Eagle fan and you, Nuno, feel watching Carson Wentz leading the Colts in this improbable second half comeback?
I think you're misusing the word leading. I think Jonathan Taylor's doing the leading.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz,
Carson Wentz watching this comeback from as close a proximity as he is.
He is an excellent handoffer. He is an excellent handoffer, and so far he's not been given the opportunity yet to ruin their season. My only fear with him was that he got hurt, and thus the Eagles wouldn't be able to get that first-round pick, which, of course, 75% of snaps is required. I don't have anything against Carson Wentz. It's fine. Like, the fact that he's doing this is fine, but I mean, he is not anywhere near the most important thing on that team.
Next, about the Ravens and Bears, and this is a great note here, and we talked about how we think Matt Nagy might get fired. He writes, coming off a bye. I forgot that when I did my little take on this game. I forgot they were coming off a bye. Coming off a bye, your quarterback was 4 of 11 for 79 yards before he got hurt. And that really is the ultimate. Like, they looked so bad. Now, I know the Ravens have a good defense, but a lot of teams have been figuring out that Ravens defense of late. And I'm not suggesting you need a Justin Fields to go crazy against them, but they just looked hopeless, helpless, and clueless. And it doesn't make you feel any better for Andy Dalton to come in and all of a sudden your offense looks better. In fact, it makes you look worse. It makes you feel worse. Because the job of the coaching staff is not to get Andy Dalton ready to win games. Mm. It's to get Justin Fields ready to win games. And the fact that he played like that yesterday is a greater indictment of the team than losing the game in the first place.
Yeah, I said it earlier. This is not the worst loss of the season. This is not like a situation in which they were a two-touchdown favorite. But it was probably, if I were in the stadium yesterday, I can't imagine walking out of a game with a worse taste in my mouth than that. To have Tyler Huntley lead a game-winning drive against the Bears at Soldier Field,
yeah.
How many of those fans even knew who that was when they arrived at the stadium? It's one of the worst losses of the season, for
sure. Did you?
No, I found out the night before, day before when you started hearing that Lamar might miss the game.
Right.
But that's it.
Like, yeah.
I do this for a living.
That's not a person everybody
no.
knows. All right, we're going to start taking your phone calls coming up here. Let me give you the number. It's 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. We need your hot takes coming up next year. A few other pieces of business to get to as well. Your hot NFL takes, though, are up next here on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, we're busy. It's time for your hot takes here. Let's get this thing rolling here. Mr. Bubba, who was our first caller today?
First up, we have Robert.
All right, Robert, you're on ESPN Radio on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Robert, what's your hot take?
Well, I think Matt Nagy had a great idea before the season started about having Andy Dalton be the starter. And if Dalton would have stayed the starter, they probably would have won six games by now. Fields was not prepared for this. I mean, he had a great half against the Steelers, and he's enormously talented, but he's probably the least prepared of all the quarterbacks that came out, he and the Wilson kid.
All right, fair enough. I mean, Robert, that's an interesting take on your part. So basically what he's saying is, if he had stuck to his guns and stuck with Dalton, now Dalton got hurt.
Right, so he didn't. So he went from Dalton to Fields, not Dalton to Foles, which we talked about a lot at the time.
Oh, that's right, mm-hmm. That's right. If he had stuck to his guns, would they be better off than they are now?
I mean,
they may have won more games. That doesn't necessarily mean you're better off.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, Justin Fields has demonstrated that he has the skills to learn on the job.
And they're not good enough. Like, they're not good enough with Dalton or Foles to win anything that matters.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Their offensive line's terrible. That defense is good. It's not great. They weren't. It's not like they were going to make a deep playoff run with those guys.
No.
So I don't necessarily think it was a mistake, but the hot takes are yours, and they're always welcome and appreciated. You're welcome to speak your mind here, whether we agree or not. Bubba, who's next?
Next up, we have Mike.
Mike, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Mike, give me a hot take.
Greeny, when a team shows you who they are the first time, believe them. The Cowboys are utterly disappointing me. They keep on disappointing me. Let me tell you something. We're gonna lose the NFC champion. We're gonna lose the NFC East. And it's going to be the Eagles that's going to win it. I've seen it too many times where we come in lackadaisical, and then we turn around and we say, well, we're still the leaders in the division. And then the Eagles come in and take over the division, and they went on to win a championship the last time this happened. My hot take is, believe the team the first time when they show you who they are.
Well, that is a fascinating and very scorching hot take, and I like it, and I appreciate the call. As always. Now, let me go through the Cowboys schedule the rest of the way. Now, Bubba, I want you to remove your fandom and just tell me, are you winning or losing this game? The Cowboys right now have a 2.5 game cushion on the Eagles. Well, the Cowboys haven't had their bye yet. I mean, have had their bye, and the Eagles haven't.
Right.
When is the Eagles bye?
13.
So it's super
after the
late.
After the Jets game.
Well, so they have back-to-back byes.
Yeah, back-to-back. Not bad.
So let's say the Eagles. Okay, let's do it. The Cowboys have 7 wins right now.
The Eagles' schedule, by the way, is super easy.
Correct. So we're going to get to them in a minute. Cowboys, Bubba, home against the Raiders.
Win.
That's 8. At the Saints.
Win.
That's 9. At Washington.
Win.
That's 10. At the Giants.
It should be a win.
So we don't have any problem here.
Yeah.
If they win all these games, then there's nothing the Eagles can do no matter what happens.
Right now, FPI says the Cowboys have a 90% chance to win the NFC East. I think the best prayer the Eagles have is for the division to be up for grabs entering Week 18, where it becomes winner-take-all, effectively.
Greeny with you here, inviting you to be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up. Fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. Bubba, who's next?
Let's go to Drew.
All right, Drew, you're on with us on ESPN Radio. Give me a hot take.
All right, so my hot take is that Kevin Stefanski is being forced by the front office to play Baker Mayfield to make the negotiations in the offseason that much easier.
Isn't that fascinating? Basically, what you're saying is the front office wants Mayfield to look bad so they don't have to pay him as much money rather than going to Case Keenum, which gives them a better chance to win games. I think I've deducted his. I've stunned him into silence with my.
Do you like it?
With my repurposing. I mean, I love the heat of the take. Do I think it? No, obviously not. Look, Baker is trying to do what football players are supposed to do, which is sort of gut it out. And it's up to someone else to take the ball away from him. It's up to the coach to say, and in this case, you know, again, the caller is saying, well, Stefanski, I don't believe it. I think Stefanski is going to let Baker. Look, Baker Mayfield is the first pick in the draft. He is the future of this franchise, I think, no matter what. He's certainly going to be your quarterback next year. You want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I do believe the injuries have now amassed to a place where they would be better off playing Keenum.
So do I. Do you think that if Baker had already gotten paid, we would be having a different conversation about these injuries?
No,
you think he'd still be playing? You think
yes,
he'd still be playing?
I 100% do. I'm not going to question Baker's toughness. That's what I'm not going to. It's not fair. Like, I have no reason to believe Baker's not a tough guy, that he's not out there trying to lay it all on the line for his team and playing hurt. That's what most football players do. And then when they are no longer helping their team, they're always the last to know that. It's the coach's job to say, Baker, I love you. You are the future of this franchise. But right now, the injuries have gotten to a place where you can't help us. So you're going to sit next to me, and we're going to let Case play for at least a week. You don't have to bench him for the rest, you know, give up on the year unless you want to have the surgery sooner than later. He's going to have the left shoulder surgically repaired at some point, no matter what. So I'm not necessarily saying you do that, but at least let him sit a week or two and see what happens. Look, they're still in it. I mean, as awful as they were yesterday, they won.
They did.
I mean, they won a terrible game. There were some terrible games yesterday.
Yeah, we've hit the dog days.
Ravens-Bears was a game no one should have won. I take that back. That's not fair. For the Ravens to find a way to win that game without their quarterback, I take that back. It was no one should have watched it.
They should have played it, but no one should have watched it.
But they deserve credit for winning it. No, the Bears don't deserve credit for anything. That was an embarrassment. Yeah. And the Cleveland-Detroit game was just if the Cleveland-Detroit game had been played in my backyard, I would have shut the drapes to make sure that I didn't accidentally see any of it.
Were either of those games better than the Jets-Dolphins game?
Both of them were better than the Jets-Dolphins game. The Jet-Dolphin game was just horrendous. The Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, by the way, for those of you who didn't watch that game, first off, God bless you. The Dolphins take a 7-0 lead. The Jets are going to have no chance in this game. The only thing Tua can't do is turn the ball over early. So what does he do? He throws a terrible interception. Just right, Brandon? I mean, just so bad that I'm sitting there, I'm a Jet fan, and I'm like, that is the one thing you couldn't do. And the Jets go down there and score, and now it's a game. And it remained a game the rest of the day. If the Dolphins had just run it, everyone knows you just run it on the Jets. The Jets will not tackle anyone. Miles Gaskin should have run for 700 yards yesterday. Just turn around and give him. Instead, Tua's throwing a pass for no reason. A terrible interception. The Jets go down and score. Now they have life, and it was a game the whole day. The whole day. That was a terrible play.
Everything is so hard for Tua. Like, if you watch him drop back to pass, he launches it, and it goes like 9 yards.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't have anything close to what I thought he would coming out of school.
No, I don't know if it's all the injuries.
Maybe.
Or what it is, but he's not
it. The ball just never arrives.
Right.
It just never gets there.
He's not it. When the Dolphins do whatever the next generation of winning is they're going to do, it's not going to be the guy that they took number 5 overall. And that is devastating. Devastating for them. Green, and especially with the kid going right behind him.
Like, Justin Herbert?
It is way worse to have taken Tua ahead of Herbert than it is to have taken Rager ahead of Justin Jefferson.
Oh, no question. Herbert could win the MVP of the league this year.
Right.
He
might be. I mean, Rex called him the best quarterback in the NFL. And I don't think he's that, but he's not that far
away.
He's up there. And he might wind up being that soon. I totally think that. Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. Bubba, who's next?
Let's go to Jonathan.
Jonathan, give me a hot take.
Yes, the Colts are going to win the division. They finally find their identity with Jonathan Taylor running the ball, and we're going to win the division.
I don't think that's far-fetched. Now, the problem they have is they lost both their games to Tampa, to Tennessee already. Mm-hmm. Right? Why can't I find the standings here? How far? What? Hold on a second.
Right
here
now, the Titans are 8-3. The Colts are 6-5. But FPI says the Titans have a 96% chance to still win.
That's because they swept it. Right? They swept them. They played their two games already.
They need to make up three games in 6 games. They need to make up 3 in 6 games. Very tough to do.
So let me look at the Titans. I mean, the Titans have managed somehow to lose to the Jets and the Texans. If they lose this division, they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Titans are at the Patriots this week. That's a loss. That's a fourth loss. Mm-hmm. They still have at the Steelers. They have the Niners, who have gotten a lot better. Yeah. I think the Niners are going to beat them. But no, then they've got some other winnable games. They're not going to catch the Texans.
They're not.
The Texans, the Titans.
They're not going to catch the Titans. And you weren't here on, it was Thursday of last week on the TV show. Diana said that there is optimism in Tennessee that Derrick Henry will be ready to play early January, which could make a big difference for the playoffs.
That's the last week or two, and then the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Leading to the playoffs.
I don't think they're going to catch them, but I do think the Colts are going to get in. I think the Colts are going to be a wild card.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
They've got a bunch of losable games that Tennessee does, but so do the Colts. So I think they're going to wind up losing out on that. Let's do one more. Bubba, who you got?
Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx.
All right, Buddha, go ahead. Take it. You got your hot take. Go.
All right, listen. It's mid-November. The annual time as a Jets fan where you turn to the draft. Unbelievable. Year after year. Teflon Joe Douglas and his 20-year contract can't make any more mistakes just drafting for need. You know, Mekhi Becton looking like that dog from Bugs Bunny. This time we didn't forget the gravy. You got to draft whoever's the best player. Specifically, look at Justin Jefferson. Mekhi Becton was a bust pick, and we have to, you know, I don't know what we're going to do with this guy, Joe Douglas. I don't know what we're going to do with him, but somebody please get through to him. Please.
Buddha, I love the call, and I love your passion. Here's what I will say. I don't think we thought Becton was a bust going into last offseason, and he got hurt week one. Now, everyone thought there were all this talk coming out of there that he was not in shape and that he had a very bad preseason and all the rest of that. He got hurt week one and hasn't played since. So I cannot sit here and say that Becton was a bad pick. Their second pick last year, Denzel Mims, is an unqualified disaster. Their draft this year looks good. I mean, obviously, Zach Wilson will be the tipping point of whether it was good or bad. And the immediate evidence on that is bad, but it's much too soon to suggest otherwise. And look, I'm as critical of Joe Douglas as anyone. If you listen to the show, you know I agree with your general point. But fair is fair. Elijah Vera Tucker was a good pick. Elijah Moore is a good pick. Michael Carter looks like he's a good pick. So I can't sit here and tell you the Jets did not have a good draft this year. Now, if the quarterback is no good, then none of the rest of it will matter. But I can't tell you they didn't have a good year. But it is depressing that that is already what we're thinking about. All right. So in the end here, what is it that we want to sort of figure out in the end here as far as the day is concerned? What do we know? Like, Nuno, I'm looking at the standings in the NFL. I'll let each of you guys give a quick thought. Like, over the last 3 weeks in a row, I feel like bad teams win games. Good teams look awful. The Cowboys have lost 2 out of 3. Tampa has looked incredibly beatable. The Bills, I thought, were the best team. They've fallen by the wayside. Kansas City maybe have kind of righted the ship, maybe not really. The Cardinals continue to do it in impressive fashion without Kyler Murray. So what do we know for certain? Nuno, give me something you know for certain in the NFL.
I mean, the easy answer is there's not a great team, that there's not a clear-cut favorite in either conference. I think at this
Why
point
are the
time.
Cardinals not that?
Because the fact that they've done this without Kyler Murray, right? They've won 2 games without him.
That's what I mean.
If they were doing this with him, and the fact that how many people really trust Cliff Kingsbury in a big spot?
But isn't it more impressive that they've been doing it without both Murray and D-Hop, that they still manage to find a way to win games? We're sitting here giving the Cowboys a pass based on all the players they're missing. The Cardinals have been without their two best players the last 3 weeks, and they've won 2 out of those 3 games. Now, I think we sometimes look back at the game they lost to Green Bay when they were healthy and say, how do you lose that game when Green Bay didn't have any of their guys? That's the one question mark with Arizona. But I think on behalf of the Cardinals, I would quarrel with no team can at least stake a claim to being a great team. Hembo, what is the one thing you know for certain?
The one thing I know for certain is that the New England Patriots can win the AFC this year. I've seen enough from the – we obviously know that they have the greatest coach that ever lived. They have a quarterback good enough. They have an elite defense, all the ingredients. I've seen enough here through 11 games to think that that team could definitely win the whole thing.
I agree, and they're 5-1 in the conference. All those losses they had early were all NFC games. They're 5-1 in the conference, so I agree with you that they are very dangerous. Bubba, finish it up. What's something you know for sure?
30 seconds, and very clearly the one thing we know for sure is that the Cowboys are by far the best team in the NFL.
I love it. I love Bubba. This is why he is the legend that he is in radio production, that he manages to sneak in the time cue to me while then giving his outrageous, outlandish, but very predictable take. That his Cowboys are the best
team. Very well timed also, coming off of the beatdown yesterday, Bubba. Well
played.
Very well done.
Good fun, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you tomorrow back here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcasts.